We want to thank Karen and Jake Abelevitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'ilu Nishmas Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshama should have an Aliyah. We also want to acknowledge and dedicate this year as the schluss of all of us coming here and learning on a Sunday morning in our free time in the Talmud Torah that Hashem should have rahmanas and compassion on those in being affected by the hurricane in Florida and the surrounding areas. And as a consequence of that also, I do want to spend a moment before we begin reciting one chapter of Tehillim. You have the photocopy with you. We're going to do chapter 121. We're going to recite it together, just all in unison. So, Shir Malos, Esai Nail Arim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, Ezri Me'im Adonai, Osei Shamayim Ba'aretz, Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomrecha, Hine Lo Yanum Belo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tzilchal Yad Minecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka V'Yareach Balayla, Adonai Yishmorcha, Mikorah Yishmor Asnashecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzeischa Bo'echa, Me'ata V'ad Olam. Okay. So we left off last week in the middle of the eighth Mishnah in the second chapter of Pirkei Avos. And for those of you who have last week's handout, this is slightly different, so if you use last week, you will probably get confused, so I encourage you to just switch to this new sheet, where the numbers are different and there's a few more inserted sources, and the orders change, so just use the new sheet. So, source number one, I just wanted to recap in a source that we didn't see last week, but I think it encapsulates the point that we were making. The main crux of the issue from last week that we argued was that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, post-destruction, one of his goals was to create an environment where people could live without the temple. We can live spiritually, we can gain. He made all these takanot, these zecher lemikdash, to remember the mikdash not only as a mourning, but also as a celebration and an encouragement that we can do these things even without the Beis HaMikdash. We can serve God without it. And I think source number one really brings this to the fore. The source is Avos Rabbi Nasan, which is a commentary of the sages on Pirkei Avos. So the source says, Pam achas haya Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai yotzim Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was leaving Yerushalayim. Vaya Rabbi Yeshua, who was his student, we're going to meet a little bit later. Rabbi Yeshua holach achorav was walking behind him, v'ra beis hamikdash charav, and he saw the destruction. Rabbi Yeshua says, Oy lanu al zeh shu charav makom shemechaprim bo avnoseim shel Yisrael. He says, woe to us, for destroyed is the place that that's where we got our atonement, right? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is coming up. This is the place where we received our atonement in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, just as a side point, if you remember from last week, we saw Gemara in Bava Basra, where there were people who decided that because of the destruction, they're no longer going to eat meat, they're no longer going to drink wine. And do you remember who it was that confronted them and said, oh, so you're not going to drink water anymore because we had that in the sacrifices? Oh, you're not going to eat bread anymore because we had that in sacrifices as well? It was actually Rabbi Yeshua. So here, it's a little bit flipped. Rabbi Yeshua there was transitioning them away from the Beis HaMikdash. How do we survive without the Beis HaMikdash? Here, Rabbi Yeshua is the one who needs the transition, needs the comfort, needs the consolation. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his Rebbe, we don't have any kapar anymore. We don't have any atonement. What are we supposed to do? So what's the answer? Amar le, b'ni al yera lecha. Don't worry about it. Don't let this disturb you. Yesh lanu kapara achat shehi kimota. We have one source of atonement that is just as good as having the Beis HaMikdash serve as our atonement. Ve'ezeh zeh gemilos chasadim. Acts of kindness. Chesed is the way that we achieve atonement even without the Beis HaMikdash. Again, here's the point, is that we don't need the Beis HaMikdash to serve God. any function that the Beis HaMikdash had, and it's great, and we daven and we pray that the Beis HaMikdash is built b'mehera b'yameinu, but still, the message at the time was, and it still is, that even in Galus, even without the temple, we can still function just as well through following all of the mitzvos that are not directly connected or required to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So that's chesed, we have tefillah, etc. Okay, so that's just one source. Let's put that in our pocket, move backwards. Yeah, one comment, and then we're going to go. Possibly. Right, but let's say you. What's the whole thing of Dayenu? If you didn't give us the Beis HaBechira, right. Dayenu. It
shouldn't be the last one. Is what I'm saying,
right. So I think that. I mean, this is. I think it's a nuanced point, but the point is that the Beis HaMikdash is our pinnacle. The Beis HaMikdash is Judaism and spirituality and serving God at its fore, and we hope and we pray that that happens as soon as possible. But the point is that even though it's the pinnacle, even though it's the, you know, the top of the Dayenu chart, we still don't need it to serve God. We can serve God as we have been doing. We can achieve greatness spiritually without it. We still want it, and we're still working towards it. But we can still do things without it. That's the point. Okay, source number two. Let's actually see, now that we spent all this time understanding who Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was, let's see what he actually said in Pirkei Avos. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel mihilal b'shamai. Umishama. So we pointed out last week, and this is going to be important for one of the lessons that we're going to learn this week, is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai received the Torah from both Hillel and Shammai. Not just from Hillel, not just from Shammai, from both of them. He was a student of both, and as we spent a lot of time elaborating and building when we did Hillel and Shammai, is that they were two distinct tracks. Right? And the students of Hillel and Shammai, as we spent even more time discussing, went in two different tracks, two different paths. Remember, we saw the source that it was like there were two Torahs. They were so distinct from each other. But here is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's a student of both of them. And how that's going to affect us, we'll see shortly. So what did he used to say? Hu haya omer. This was his main teaching. Im lamadta Torah harbe. If you studied lots of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha. Don't give yourself a congratulations. Don't be proud of yourself. Why? Ki lekach notzarta. This is the purpose of your creation. This is why you were created. You were created to learn this Torah. And we're going to see there's some variations in the wording here. Some have different, a slightly different statement, which is going to be important. But for our main purpose for now, you learned a lot of Torah. Don't congratulate yourself. Al tachzik tova la'atzmacha. Don't think that you're so great, because that's what the goal is. That's what you were born and created for. The Mishnah then continues, and we will elaborate on this point in a moment, but the Mishnah continues, and some have this as another Mishnah, some have it as the same Mishnah, but the next phrase, whether it's the same or a different one, is Chamisha Talmidim Hayu Lo L'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five students. Who were these five students? Ve'eluhein, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nesanel, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. He had these five students, and we're going to break these down eventually, probably not today. And then the Mishnah continues, Hu haya mona shvachan, he would sing their praises. He had a specific comment, a specific praise, targeted at each one of these students. They were different, and he was able to pinpoint exactly what their strengths were, and we will elaborate in future weeks on what those were. For now, just keep in mind that we're transitioning from his statement of this is why you were created to these are his five students. That'll be important later. So let's go with the simple explanation. As we go forward, we're going to see, I think, four or five different important points that come from this Mishnah. Let's go with the simple explanation that it's a Mishnah that is teaching us about not being proud of our accomplishments. Some of us maybe are a little bit feels wrong. What do you mean not proud of my accomplishments? I accomplished something. I should feel proud about that. We should feel good about ourselves. Okay, so we'll have to see how we can handle that. Let's see source number three. So Rabbeinu Yonah, going with this basic explanation that this is a message about perhaps humility, says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kibel Mihilal Umishamai. Hu haya Omer, Im Asita Torah Harbe. So now, was that the same word? So he's quoting our Mishnah, and he says something slightly different. He said, Im Asita Torah Harbe. What did our Mishnah say? Im Lamadta. So what's the difference between Lamadta and Asita? What's Lamadta mean? Learn. What's Asita? Do. Act. Right? So this is going to be important. We're not going to focus on this second, but just pointing out, putting the breadcrumbs, that we have some distinction in our language here. So if you did a lot of Torah, you learned a lot of Torah, don't be so excited about it. Al tafsik tov al atzmacha. Don't be proud of yourself. Now, here's where his commentary starts. Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'adayin ata betchila, umatay tasig ad ha'emsa v'ad ha'sof. So the Rabbeinu Yonah's point here is that you just started. No matter how much you learned, no matter how much you think you've accomplished, guess what? There's a lot more to do. There will never be a point. Even if we learn 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of our lives, there will never be a point where we get to this plateau and say, wow, look how much I've accomplished. Because whatever you got to, guess what? There's even more and more and more that you have not accomplished. So he says, just from a practical perspective, we should never get to that point to think that we have accomplished something because there's so much more to do. Ki haTorah, we're going to continue. Arucha me'aretz midah. If you notice, this is the, you should win a record, even though I did stuff a lot onto this one page. This is only one page. Okay, so this is our first time we have not had multiple pages. So I wanted to slow down a little bit and also focus on reading inside a little bit. We've been just skimming over things. But I think it's important, at least for this shiur, I'm not guaranteeing it in the future, that we see things a little bit slower and inside. So he says, Ki haTorah arucha me'aretz midah urechava minayam. The Torah is greater, is longer than the length of the earth, and it's wider than the sea. And you can never get to understand completely the Torah. There's so much more to do. You can't congratulate yourself. You've only accomplished a small little fraction of what possibly you can learn. So that's point number one that he makes. Point number two, because if you remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said the reason why you shouldn't be machzik tov la'atzmacha is because that's why you were created. Ki lekach notzarta. So how does he explain that? Ki lekach notzarta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo himtziacha yesh me'ayin rak la'asos toraso. The only reason why the world was created while you were created was in order for us to either learn or accomplish, do, fulfill the Torah. This is another reason why you shouldn't congratulate yourself. This is your goal, this is your mission, this is your whole purpose. So he gives a parable. Somebody owes a debt and he pays his debt. You say, congratulations, you paid your debt. No, that's your job. You pay your debt. I didn't get a shikoyach for that. V'zos hamida gam kein hi ala mitzvos shim asisa mitzvah harbe al tachzik tov al atzmacha ki l'kach notzarta. Rabbi Yonah says this applies to learning. It applies to doing mitzvos. This is your mission. This is your goal. This is your purpose. There is no time. There is no value. There is no reason why you should stop and say, wow, I'm proud of myself for doing that. Yes?
It kind of reminds me of last week's parashah where we had the people who because they're boasting that they did everything.
So that's an interesting point. In the Vidui Bikurim, we do say, I did everything as to what I was supposed to. I fulfilled my mission. And I don't know if I would call that a boasting. Perhaps you could read it that way. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would tell you that's not a boasting, it's an acknowledgement. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not going to tell you, after you shook a lulav, that you don't say, I didn't shake a lulav. I did it. I did actually do it. Now the question is, do you get a sticker for doing that? Or do you give yourself a sticker for doing that? So I do want to distinguish here. There is first distinction that maybe can, if we do feel, anybody feel uncomfortable with this idea that you shouldn't be proud of your accomplishments? Right. So maybe some yes, some no. This is not saying you can't be proud of somebody else's accomplishments, right? So this doesn't mean that you can't give your students a sticker. This doesn't mean that you can't give your kids a sticker when they accomplish something and say, I'm proud of you for doing. But he is saying that at least on our own level, if you understand the Mishnah at what I think is its face value, at least for ourselves, we shouldn't be in the business of, you know, going, I remember, who was it? One of my teachers was first grade, second grade. Anytime you used to do something good, she said that you should, I forget how she phrased it, you have to go like this, and go like this, or something along those lines. I forgot exactly how, like I'm proud of myself. I don't remember. But so the point is that we are trained, I think, to be proud of our accomplishments, and we might even be told that that's psychologically healthy to be proud of your accomplishments. I would argue, based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and based on other factors, that maybe we don't need to focus so much on the evaluation of ourselves. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying, not saying don't learn Torah, and he's not saying don't do mitzvot. He's saying you should learn Torah, you should do mitzvot, you should accomplish. Don't get carried away with your good deeds, and perhaps even a better motivator than thinking about how great I am with what I accomplished is just saying that I'm not going to evaluate myself. So this is a broader topic. Before I take questions, I want to sort of elaborate on this for a minute or two. So in the contemporary psychological scene, there is a big push, or has been a big push, for self-esteem. Right? So you should feel good about yourself, because that helps you do better. And we should encourage students to feel good about themselves, because that encourages them to do better. There has been a recent pushback to that it might have been taken too far, and you know, you get first place, second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place, and sixth place, and seventh place, and everybody's a winner, and that maybe the students don't learn that maybe you aren't a winner in this area, and that you need to improve in this area. So Albert Ellis, who's a famous psychologist, who I was trained in the Albert Ellis Institute, so he once said, and this is an extreme statement, and he was an extreme individual, but he once said in a rhetoric type of way, that he believed that self-esteem is the, I think it's a direct quote, is the greatest sickness known to man. Why? Again, he's embellishing a little bit. Because it's conditional. And here's where people can get into trouble, is that when we look at things and we say, oh, I accomplished, I did, I'm good because of that. Well, what happens when you don't accomplish and you aren't successful? So that can lead to people feeling really bad about themselves. So because self-esteem is conditional, and if you evaluate yourself based on every action you do, am I a good person, am I a bad person? Am I a good Jew, am I a bad Jew? Because of this action or that action, you're running in a dangerous business. Because great if it goes well, but if it doesn't go well psychologically, it could be harmful. And I would argue Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying, forget about psychologically, just philosophically, from a Torah perspective, that's not what we need to be doing. Just like we don't judge other people, and we've seen in Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos that we don't judge other people completely based on one action, two actions, three actions. You're a bad person because you did X, Y, or Z. Remember, we spent the whole shiur on that. The same thing with ourselves in terms of a global evaluation, in terms of saying to myself, oh, I'm either proud of my accomplishments as a broad, you know, this is who I am, I'm great because I accomplished X, Y, or Z, or I'm not great because I didn't accomplish X, Y, and Z. I think it's more helpful, and perhaps Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling us, is just focus on the goal. You have a mission. What's your mission? What's the lakach notzarta? It's to learn. It's to do mitzvahs. That's your mission. You do it, and you keep doing it. At no point do you need to stop and say, am I a good person or am I a bad person because I'm doing that. The same thing when it comes to Yom Kippur. I personally don't think it's healthy or beneficial for the tshuva process for us to take stock and say, I was a bad person this past year. I did bad things. My mission is to correct those and do better things, and to do tshuva, and to learn more Torah. In terms of this global evaluative statement of, I'm proud of myself, I just don't think that religiously it's necessarily the best thing, and psychologically it could be dangerous as well. That's my presentation on that aspect, and I'll take one or two questions. We got to go to the psychologist first. Okay.
So
Okay.
Not our own doing.
Right.
That's why we begin Shemoneh Esrei with that thought. Even though it collects everything comes from Hashem. So why would we even think? In other words, why do you need to read that? This is why you were created. Just say everything comes from God and leave it at that. It's not your own.
Right. So what Barry's saying is that maybe the whole idea here is that everything comes from God. And that's another counter to arrogance, is to think that no matter what I accomplish, yes, I should accomplish. Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished, but he was still humble. He was still an unav. Why? Because he knew all of his talents and accomplishments came from God's help. Good point. Keep that in mind for source number 5 when we get to it. And I think that it'll come out there. Yeah, Barbara, then Helen. Yeah. Right, maybe we're done. I learned enough. And Rabbi Niona's point is that there's always more to do. So patting yourself on the back could lead to, you know, as we read also in the parsha a little while ago, that you know, kochi votzim yadi, to put all your points together, that everything is me and I did it, I accomplished. That's a dangerous religious thought. Everything comes from God, and there's always more to do. I think that's a good way of encapsulating. Yeah, Helen. Introspective, 100%. And parentheses. This afternoon, from 3 to 5:30, we're having a writer come and guide us through some introspective tshuva writing process, etc. Merle Feld is coming. I do encourage everybody to come to that. I think introspection is great. Introspection doesn't mean evaluating myself as a whole. It means evaluating what I've, at least according to, I don't know what she's going to say. What I would say is healthier to do is to say, yes, introspect. You should keep an accounting of everything you've done well, everything you can improve on, everything you've done poorly. At a global level, we don't then say, okay, I'm a good person or I'm a bad person. Now, you might counter to me that, what is the famous statement that there's a book, 3 books? What are the 3 books? Or is it 2 books or 3 books? 3 books, right? You got the books are open in Shemayim. You got your Wicked book, your Russia book, your Tzaddik book, and then you have your Beinoni book, right? The middle of the ground book. So you say, oh, so look, we're being evaluated. So I will counter with one point. Now, obviously, you can, if we did this fairly, you know, people can look at tons of sources and bring sources that they want to prove their point. I get it. Torah's, as we see, is wide. You can make a point as with various sources the way you want to make a point. But this is the way, at least, I want to make a point. The Rambam says that these 3 books are open, and Aseret Yemei Tshuva, so what's our mindset? What should be our perspective during Aseret Yemei Tshuva? That we are our Beinoni, we're all in the middle, and therefore we should continue to do more mitzvah so we get put into the Tzaddik book. The Rambam says, who figures all this out? Right? How do I know what book I'm in? You don't, right? It's all in God. The whole accounting is in God's hands. We don't know if we're a tzaddik or a rush or a Beinoni. And actually, I'll take that back for a second. We do know that we're not a Russia. How do we know we're not a Russia? At least in the Rambam's logic, in the Mishneh Torah when he says it. Because what happens to Russia? They die, right? The Rambam, in this... Well, the way the Rambam presents it is that if you're not, doesn't mean that everybody who dies is a Rasha, let's be clear, but and it doesn't mean that we fully understand this is all way above us, but that's my point, is that this all is way above us, and that from a human level it is not philosophically correct, it is not religiously correct, and I would argue not psychologically helpful to think in terms of categories of Rasha or tzaddik in terms of evaluating ourselves. We should have the perspective that we're in the middle. This is the whole point. And there's more to do, and there's more to accomplish, and there's more to fix. I think that's the proper mindset. Helen, and then we're going to move on. Yeah. Okay, so that good set.
Having also from the perspective of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, okay. Fighting and creating this.
Good segue. So we're going to see that in a second. That's going to be source number something or other. 16, I believe. I don't know. We'll get to it. So let's... All right, I'm just going to... I'll segue... We'll skip source number 4 now because of the points. Source number 4 is good. Maybe we'll see it at the end. It deals with this. Is it learning more or is it doing more? we'll leave that for now because I think we're hitting on more important points for flow purposes. Look in source number 5. So source number 5 is this Sforno. So this Sforno says, this is in Rashi's script, if you can't follow, I'll translate. He says, Im lamadta Torah harbe, yoser mechaverecha. If you learned more Torah, and here's gets to Helen's point, I think also to Barry's point, you learn more Torah than your friend. Right? So we're in school, and I got an A, he got a B. Or whatever the evaluation, I finished this Masechta, he didn't finish it. So I learned more than my friend, or we could add, I've done more mitzvos than my friend, if you will. El yachas hazeh el rav mishtadlo secha ulemiut hishtadlos chabei recha. So this is the way our brains work, is that when we see we accomplished more, what do we assume? Because I'm better, I did more, I worked harder, etc. Ki amnam yikra ze gam biyos hishtadlo shove kishetie tez ha-ha-ha-na, good. Sorry. It's very badly written over here. Ha-ha-ha-na, b'yitzira, bilti shaveh. V'lachin t'yachez zeh, el-mashin otzarta, mukhan l'chach, yoter mechabe recha. So he says that, how do you know you worked harder, you accomplished more because of your effort, the will that you put into it? Maybe you guys started on different playing fields. You were given, perhaps, more talents than the other person from birth. That's not you, as Barry said before, that's God. It's nothing to do with your accomplishments. That has to do with what God gave you. So yeah, at the end of the day, it looks like you've accomplished more. But you did it, because in terms of the effort that was required, you guys are equal. So you finished, he didn't finish. But he had to work harder to get where he was. Maybe he even worked harder than you to get the less accomplishment than you got. So he connects this, is that he's praising, he's going to praise his student, Reuchem and Zakkai, on not their natural talents per se, but on what they've worked hard to accomplish. So, in terms of what they eventually accomplished, it was based on their personality traits, what they were given as from birth, their genetics, if you will, or perhaps their environment, how they were raised. But the main point here, and I think is important for all of us, is that this is a message in addition to what we just said about evaluating yourself. It's evaluating yourself at the cost of evaluating somebody else is even worse. So it's not just that I shouldn't be machzik tova for me, but I definitely shouldn't be machzik tova for me if it's going to affect my perspective on somebody else, because it's just wrong. It's wrong just factually. We don't praise ourselves for things that I have no control over. My IQ isn't my fault, right? Whether it's high or low. It's either genetics, so somebody else's fault, or it's learning environment, or it's where I was taught. Again, somebody else's fault. At some point, what is it that I can, and this is an important question, we'll try to get to this a little bit later, what can I basically take as my own? Is there anything I can take as my own and say, I did this, I accomplished this, and maybe there is there any area in our life that we can say, yes, I accomplished, yes, I did. Yes, I tried, and because of that, I should feel proud of myself. I'm not
with
sure.
Hashem's
help. Obviously with Hashem's help. That's not a question. Okay, before I take the questions, I see a bunch of questions. Let's see a few more sources because I think they're all related, and then at the end we'll take some more questions. So that's source number 5. Source number 6, building off of source number 5. So there is a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that Rav Sheshes every 30 days used to review his learning. And when he did this, he would stand and lean on the side of the doorway and exclaim, "Rejoice, O my soul, rejoice, O my soul, for thee have I read the Bible, and thee have I read the Mishnah." This is against everything Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, don't be machzik tova. And here Rav Sheshes, who's later, is throwing a party. Look what I did. Look how much I've learned. So perhaps the Rav Sheshes said, okay, I heard Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I follow this perspective, that's possible. But perhaps, and I saw somebody argue this, is that what is Rav Sheshes doing here? Is he learning? What exactly is he doing? What type of learning?
Reviewing.
review it. So perhaps you can argue that when it comes to the first time around, how much I've understood, how much I've been able to accomplish in my learning, that's all God. God gave me that gift, how much I can understand, how much I can process. But when it comes to that extra effort of reviewing it, who's that up to? So that's up to me. That I can say, I did, I accomplished. And because of, perhaps you can say for that, that's what Rav Sheshis was proud of. Again, maybe not, maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would say you shouldn't be proud of that either. I don't know, but at least here we're distinguishing somewhat between things that are that come naturally and things that now I've gone above and beyond based on that. One second. Now, we're going to do source number 7 and then I'll pause for questions. So another transitional idea here to help build to the future Shirim is the Medrash Shmuel. So the Medrash Shmuel, it goes in a totally different direction. Until now, we've basically gone with a relatively standard explanation that the Mishnah is telling us not to be proud of what we've learned, what we've accomplished in terms of our religious accomplishments. So now the Medrash Shmuel says, no, maybe you can understand the Mishnah on a completely different level. Inami, he says, the Medrash Shmuel compiles lots and lots of different answers and explanations. So Inami means here's another answer. Here's another possible way of reading the Mishnah. Amar im lamadta Torah harbe, vihisagta Torah harbe. So you've learned a lot, you've accomplished, you've understood. Al tachzik tova shehi haTorah la'atzmecha levad. You shouldn't hold the Torah, which is tova, right? Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. Torah is called tov. So that you shouldn't hold that goodness to yourself. Rather, what should you do? Lilmod lalamed, you should teach. It's a completely different way of understanding the Mishnah. You shouldn't machzik the tova, meaning the Torah, which is good. You shouldn't, this is so great, what you have learned, what you have understood, what you have been able to accomplish is so amazing. Don't be selfish. Don't keep that to yourself. Don't think that when I learn by myself, I learn better, and I learn more, and I accomplish more. That's selfish. Don't be machzik the tova to yourself. Share the goodness. Share the wealth. Share the ideas. And based on that, now we understand for sure the transition to the next part of the Mishnah. 5 students did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai have. Here are his 5 students. And he lists the 5 students. And here's my praises of these 5 students. And here's what then the Mishnayos continue. Here's what the 5 students themselves taught. And now we have a whole new view of how you understand the second trend, the second half of Pirkei Avos Perek Beis, is that it's all about passing on, which is really what the whole Pirkei Avos is about, passing on the torch of Torah from one generation to the next. That is our duty, kilakach notzarta, that is passing on the tradition for all of us, to our children, to our friends, to whoever, is the reason why we're here. It's the reason why we're born, and for that reason, we have to share it, and we can't keep it to ourselves. So we're going to take questions in a moment. I'm just going to recap what we did. 2 main points for today. The first is that don't feel proud of yourself for accomplishing things that either A, you haven't even began to accomplish what's really, you know, any level of what's out there. You've only started. It's the tip of the iceberg. Don't feel proud of your accomplishments because that's your goal. That's why you were created. That's the reason why you're here in this world. Don't feel proud of yourself, especially over and above somebody else, because you don't know how to judge that. You don't know how to understand what talents you were given innately and what talents they had innately. And just because you have, seems in this world, you have accomplished more, you don't know in Shemayim. The Gemara famously says that I forgot who the sages were, but they went, one of the sages saw a glimpse of what happens in Olam Haba, in the world to come, and he says, Olam Hafachar Isi, I saw an upside down world. What does that mean, I saw an upside down world? So if you go through the sources, basically what it comes down to is that the people who I thought in this world were great were lower, and the people who I thought were low in this world in Olam Haba were greater. Why? And various commentators explain, Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful piece on this, that this is exactly this point of the Sforno from, you know, almost 1,000 years ago. Or not long ago, 600-700 years ago. So the Sforno's point is that you don't know, just because somebody accomplishes here, what God's calculation is. They might have been able to accomplish a lot more. Just because you think you're better now. No, that's an irresponsible and incorrect way of viewing the world. That's Asforno's point. And then maybe, is there any element that you could feel proud of? Perhaps something that goes above and beyond the chazara, the review. Maybe that is you that you can say, I did. Maybe not. We're not sure. And then we're going to transition going into learning these students. Don't keep the Torah to yourself. Spread it as far as you can. And that's going to transition us to the future weeks. All right, so we're going to pause for a few questions. Time we haven't heard from you yet.
Between the idea of first of all, we need to define what is proud mean, mm-hmm. and how does that affect us. But before we get to that, there's a stark contrast between don't be proud of yourself for having accomplished the business of Hashem's gift that he gave to you, and the idea of, you really essentially, you're nothing without Hashem's gift. Hashem's gift, it depends what I do with it. If I do nothing with that gift, it seems to be an avera. But if I use that gift and I accomplish what I accomplish through dint of my own effort, using that gift, being thankful for that gift and accomplishing, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not been addressed in what we're doing today.
So I think it has. So I'm not... If you want to argue that there's some value into being proud of yourself for what you've accomplished... you could sidestep this and say that that's not what he's talking about. And present, like you said, I think articulately and make sense, that God gave me a gift and I acknowledge it's all from God and that you accomplish your humility and I acknowledge that I'm not better than anybody else because of that, because we're all different and we're all given different. So if you start with those and then you say, almost like you're basically saying the Chazara argument, and I have a choice. I can either do good or I can do bad. And I chose good. And because of that, I should feel proud of myself. I hear that. I still think Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would disagree with you. Because what would his response be? You're so proud of yourself. Look at me. I did... and I'm doing this facetiously. But, I did... I could have went and, did a Veiros this morning. And I came and I learned. I had a choice. What is he going to say back to you? You had a choice, yes, and it's great, and you're going to get rewarded for that choice, and I can be proud of you for that choice, but I think that he's saying from our own perspective is that that's your job. That's your job. And there's no, to an extent, you did have a choice, but this is why you were created. Like, what else would you have done? I know it's hard to stomach, especially in somebody who... when we're so grown up in a world where we are supposed to be proud of ourselves, this is a little bit countercultural. But I think that I think it's important. I think that if you do start off the way you started off with acknowledging everything's from God, and that I'm not better than anybody else, I don't think Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would be that disappointed in you, right? This isn't there's no halacha here. This is not. You must not acknowledge any accomplishment on your own. This is Perkei Avos. This is his understanding of the way we should live. And we try, and maybe we think it's a little bit different. Maybe you can find you'll pass like Rav Sheshes. Here's my. I can be proud of this. Okay, good point. Yeah, Morty.
So, for example, we had in the Torah about weights, that a person is not allowed to play with weights and cheat somebody. Now, we can learn about it, but with a person who cheats at it, what good is that?
Right, so
the person who does follow carefully and goes out of his way and loses maybe something because he does it, he can be maybe proud of what he's doing.
Again, it's going to be a hard point again, but I think it's the same point as Chaim. Is that you're basically given a mitzvah, you do the mitzvah. What are you proud of? I'm proud of you. God's proud of you. You get schar for that. But this whole thing, I think that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying is that the whole concept of proud as a motivator or as a reflection is just not within his at least religious worldview. I get that we don't get it so much, but I really think he's saying that. I do want to point out that we skipped source number 4. We will perhaps come back to it next time, where one of the other things that I want to do is track these Beis Hillel Beis Shammai thoughts, or Hillel and Shammai thoughts, as they go throughout the students. That we're going to start doing that with source number 4, but it's not exactly relevant to this point at this moment, so we're going to skip it for now. Yeah.
I have a question, but I also have a point, and kind of one leads to the other. It's kind of a little bit in agreement with Rabbi, which is, when we finish the Masechta, when we learn, we make a seal. I mean, it seems that we say we're celebrating the Torah, we're not celebrating our accomplishment, but it kind of looks like we're celebrating our accomplishment, because we can do something every day. Every day you finish learning Torah, we don't have to wait till the end of the Masechta, at the end of something like that. Yet we make a seal. We have 10 people, you have a psychotic,
So I would argue, first of all, perhaps I didn't look into this, but if I may be wrong with this, but I think Rav Sheshis' whole thing over here is like a precursor to a Siyum type of idea. But I think the answer is the same from a Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai perspective. So when you're up there and you're doing the Siyum, your mindset should not be, wow, look, I'm so proud of myself. Your mindset should be, I did a Siyum. We have a custom. We do a Siyum. Why? It motivates other people. It shows that we are machshav Torah. We love Torah. This is something that we want to be proud of. I get it. This doesn't fully go with every single thing that we do in our religious life. Sometimes we are proud, and maybe that is good. Sometimes I hear you.
But I did have a broader question.
Yeah.
Which is this version of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that we're learning now seems to, you know, it almost seems like a little bit of a downer. Right? A little bit of a more of an ascetic type of viewpoint. And yet, we spent the whole last week going over how Rabbi Yochanan was the one going, or his commentary, who in that case, was the one going telling people almost to be more positive, kind of.
So I don't look at this. I don't look at this as less positive. So that's where I get back to. I think that in terms of this, I mean, this is a broader point. What motivates people to do more and to do better? So one way of doing it is to say that what motivates people to do more and to do better is to continuously reinforce them and say that you should be proud of yourself, proud of yourself, proud of yourself. Now I'm going to do more, do more, do more. Yes, it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. But from, I think, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's perspective, religiously or philosophically here, is that even if it works, even if it doesn't work here or there or whatever, that's not the right perspective. The right perspective is to, in order to accomplish more, don't think about how great I am. Think about the mission that you have. Think about what the goal is. Forget about whether, you have to know, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? What do I have to improve on? That's on a behavior level. That's on a mitzvah level. On a I'm proud of myself, or I think I'm a piece of garbage for not fulfilling level, I think that that's, I think he's saying that that's not the right way. Yeah.
Okay. Don't we sometimes say to our spouses or our kids, you know, like, oh, thanks for dinner, oh, thanks for taking the garbage out. Then turn around and say, that's your job. I don't have to say thanks.
So I did acknowledge that in the beginning, and I said that in terms of other people, he's not saying you can't be proud of other people. I think that he would say, you know, you go to, you thank the bus driver after you get off the bus. He said, you said, yes, you thank him. Why do I have to thank him? It's his job. Because you thank him anyway. But, you know, or in terms of, you know, can you say I'm proud of you, son? Or I'm proud of you, mom, or husband, or whatever. Or saying thank you and saying I'm proud of you aren't the same thing necessarily. But I think that when it comes to other people, we could be proud of them. Although maybe not, I don't know. He's not addressing other people. He's addressing yourself. Whether or not
the other people, if they're trying to form them into beings.
Right. But remember the other. He's not, even though he's not addressing it. Remember the other downside to this is that when I do say I'm proud of you for X, Y, or Z, and then am I consistent in that? Is my message? Do I say I don't like you for X for doing this and that or whatever? So you got to be careful when you're playing around with this stuff.
One more point to
yes.
Me. I mean, I just did it writing for support. I have a little group to see where you are now, what you've accomplished. And in a way, in order to move more forward, sometimes I have to look at myself and say I did a positive thing.
Again, yes. We should be, and I'm going to make this abundantly clear, especially before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the goal is to look back and to introspect as much as you possibly can. go and find the things you did well, and go and find the things that you did poorly, correct the things that you did poorly, keep improving and continuing the things that you did well. The only question is, after that, do you say, I am proud of what I did? And those are two separate questions. We should be introspective and we should improve. The question is, do I say I'm proud of myself? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I think, is saying, no, you don't. You say, I'm going to improve. And that's it. I have a mission. This is what I need to do. I have to do more mitzvos. I have to do less averos. The I'm proud is not going to come up. Yes. Two more. Yeah. Yes. This is only for the men. Women can feel as proud of themselves as they want. No. Extra credit for learning. I mean, everybody gets. I mean, you get. Everybody gets reward for things that they do above and beyond, for sure. Again, I'll point it out again. In source number four is where we saw it in source number three, is where the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai perhaps isn't just talking about learning. He's talking about learning and doing, so that it could be addressed to everybody. And in terms of what women can, should, etc. learn, one small little point, and we could do a series of shirim on this. I think we once did. I have to refer to Jake at some point a long time ago. Women do have to learn Torah, right? You do need to know mitzvos. You have to know what to do, and that requires some level of knowledge. Now, above and beyond, maybe nowadays it's appropriate to go and learn even stuff you don't need to know. But at the very base level, there's no, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai perhaps would say, Im lamata Torah harbe, it applies to women as well, for at least the things that you're allowed to, should, could, elective, learn. I think that would apply as well. Yes, a different time. I'll take a few series. I think we're gonna go one more question. Who hasn't spoken? And then everybody else, feel free. We can talk about this until I get a phone call that I can't talk about it anymore. But we're gonna close this because it's getting a little bit late. Yeah, one last. Right, there's always more. There's always more to accomplish. There's always more Torah to learn. There's always those mitzvahs to do. I think I said it before. Yes. Yeah. Right, but I mean, your point, I think, is I think.